the wise men. And it's amazing because the Bible, as I showed last week, drops hints all through the Bible. You think that the story just happened when in the book of Matthew when the wise men showed up. But no, there were wise men in the Old Testament. And we always can find that God has already put a hint of what he's going to do. That's what the Old Testament is. In the Old Testament is Jesus concealed. The New Testament is Jesus revealed. Because the New Testament church didn't have the New Testament Bible. Yet they were able to show from the scriptures about Jesus. Amen. In fact, Jesus said, they speak of me. So we're going to see how even the advent of the wise men coming was in the Old Testament. And I'm going to show you something I think quite amazing. There's a prophecy that you may not have noticed in the Old Testament, that there would be kings bringing gifts. Psalm 72:10. Do you know the Lord always tells his friends what he's going to do? Before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, you know, shall I speak to my friend Abraham and let him know what I'm going to do? God, if you're his friend, he's going to tell you some things. He's going to show you. He's going to warn you. And here we have in the Old Testament a prophecy that's quite amazing that you may not have come across. It says, the kings, and notice there are three of them, the kings of Tarshish, the isle shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Isn't that an amazing prophecy? And it was literally fulfilled. This was written in the Psalms about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. The Bible is not a book of myths, but it's reality. When the newspaper writes something today, it's old news. Old news. Because it's been prophesied. Most of what is going to happen of major events has been prophesied. So we see in Psalm 72:10, it says, the kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. When the wise men came, that was only a partial fulfillment of this prophecy. The full fulfillment is going to be when Jesus now isn't in the manger, but when he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords from Jerusalem, which is going to happen. Amen. Well, let's get into the story. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, you notice it doesn't really say three. It doesn't really say three. They got the idea of the three because of the three presents. But the Bible doesn't actually say how many the number was. It just said that there came wise men. But let's go back into the Old Testament and let's see what other things we can find out about the wise men. Genesis 41:8, Pharaoh had a dream. And he had a dream where he saw seven very fat cows and seven very thin cows. And he couldn't understand what this dream meant. And he had another dream where he saw, you know, 7 years of harvest and 7 years of, he saw these wheat fields, and seven of the sheaves were full and fat and the other seven were not. And he couldn't understand this dream. So it says, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. You ever had a dream that bothered you? You ever had a dream that's bothered you? Well, you understand what Pharaoh felt like. So he sent and called for all the magicians. And that word magicians is where comes from the word magi. Magi. And it's another word. In their days, they called what they couldn't understand magic, but they were the scientists and the astronomers of their day. And that's where we get the word magician from. It comes from the Greek word magi, which goes all the way back to the wise men. That's what the translation is in the New Testament. They're called magoi, but that's where we get the word magistrate from also, because they gave judgment. They were the king's counselors. They were the smartest people of the land. They were the king's cabinet, but they were also astronomers and scientists. And so he called all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Do you know the Bible is a book of secrets? And try as they might, lots of people can read the Bible and not get anything from it, not understand it, because it's not written by human hands. That is, the text is written by human hands, but the words come from God. And so to understand it, you have to be God-inspired. You need the key. Anytime you get a secret code, the only way you can crack a secret code is if you have what? The key. And the key to understand the Bible is what? The Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that holy men of God wrote as they were inspired. That means God breathed. God told them what to write. They didn't just make it up. And that's why it is so true. And that's why, as science has gotten better, they found that the Bible is even more correct. So he brought all the wise men, but they couldn't understand the meaning of the dream. This was nonsense to them. They couldn't understand. So he saw seven fat cows and seven thin cows. What does this mean? But then they remembered that there was someone in prison who had interpreted the dream for one of Pharaoh's servants. And his name was Joseph. Joseph. So they called Joseph, and Joseph interpreted the dream. But what this shows us is that there were wise men or special men who had been chosen who understood mysteries, who could understand deep sayings. So in Daniel's time, we find the same thing. Here we have King Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a dream. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. You ever had a dream like that when you suddenly wake up and you know it was a bad dream, but it's starting to fade almost immediately? Well, he woke up and he knew he'd had one of those dreams, but as he was trying to remember it, the dream started to go from him. So, of course, he commanded, it says, all the magicians, but it's not magicians as we think of them today, you know, people who do tricks, but these were the magi, the wise men, the astronomers, the scientists. He called them, and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans. That was a special group of people who studied the stars for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And they said, great, that's our job, king. That's why you pay us to tell you the interpretation of the dream. And he said, there's one problem. I've forgotten the dream. So that made it pretty difficult. They said, this is impossible. Nobody can tell you a dream when you won't tell them what the dream is. Nevertheless, he got mad and he gave them 3 weeks. If you don't come up with the answer in 3 weeks, you're going to be executed and all your family. So the king's captain general went out and he warned all the wise men, and he came to Daniel and his friends. And this group of people who were the wise men were called Chaldeans. But finally, Daniel prayed to God, and God gave him the interpretation of the dream. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will tell you the interpretation. But he said, no, I'm not going to tell you the dream. You tell me the interpretation. Do you think that's possible? No, not with man. But with God, all things are possible. So Daniel then went to the king and said, can you give me more time? Because I have served a God who can do this, but I need to spend some time in prayer. And here's where the beginning of the real wise men story is. Because believe it or not, this whole episode in Daniel with the wise men is connected to the wise men who came to see Jesus. Daniel 2:16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now, do you notice how many friends Daniel has? Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. I'm not going to give you all the meanings of the names except one. Hananiah comes from the same word, Yochanan, which means grace. I'll let you do homework and look at the rest. I will give you some other names coming up. But it's interesting that there were three friends who were in the group of trained wise men. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. You know, the past few weeks, I've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And wouldn't it be great if we could operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and God would reveal things to you and give you wisdom and knowledge for other people or even for yourself? We see that Daniel and his friends went to the Lord in prayer and fasting. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. God showed him the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that he wouldn't tell anyone. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." Now here again, I'm trying to show you that this was the origin of the wise men. For wisdom and might are his. True wisdom comes from God. All science, when they find it out, matches what God has already declared in the Bible. You know, science has said that the universe started in an instant out of nothing, and within an instant it was billions of miles across. The easiest definition of that is found in Genesis, isn't it? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. For one instant, there was nothing, and then there was the whole universe. Science has only this last 50 years come to that conclusion that was in the Bible thousands of years ago. Science only found out that there were billions of stars. And yet in the Bible, in Genesis, God said to Abraham, "Come outside, Abraham, and look at the heavens, look at the stars, that they cannot be numbered." They didn't invent the telescope till 400 years ago. They could only see a few thousand stars. Yet God told them in the Bible, there are billions and as many stars as there are grains of sand on the sea. See how accurate the Bible is? So true wisdom comes from God. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise." You high school kids, when you get up in the morning, ask God to open your understanding. Daniel was just a teen. He was only maybe 18 or 19. But all the wise men, all of the PhD, all of the masters of science could not tell the king the dream. But three young men who humbled themselves, God revealed it to them. "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom." Daniel was the original wise man. In fact, the Bible says, I didn't put it in here, but he was the wisest, apart from Solomon, he was the wisest man. "Thou hast made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." God revealed it, a dream that wasn't spoken, to three, four young men. And he was able to go to the king and reveal it. Now, there's always something else associated with the wise men. Anyone remember the story? What other things was associated with the trip that the wise men took? They had gifts. Something else? A star. A star. Why did God bring it about that he would lead them by a star? There could have been many other ways for them to find out where he was born, but he chose a star. You'll find out that anytime wisdom is spoken about, it's also associated with light. Because light, wisdom, brings light, understanding. So we see in this story, "And many of them that sleep in the dust." Now we go to the end of the book. This is near the end of Daniel's life. And Daniel has been given some prophecies that are going to happen. But he didn't understand them. He didn't understand the prophecies. And God is speaking to him here and says that many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some people to everlasting life. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. But look at this. But they that are wise shall what? Shine as the brightness of the, as the stars, in other words. Do you understand? You see that even in the Old Testament here, God is associating wisdom with the stars, with light, with brightness. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. See, there were some mysteries given to Daniel that he wrote about that he didn't understand because it wasn't for his time. So God said the book will be sealed until the time of the end. But at the time of the end, it says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And it goes on, I didn't put it in here, but it says, the wise will know. The wise will know and understand. And I believe God is opening up the book now because we are in the end times. And that's why there's so much revelation going forth. The wise will understand. And it says that they shall shine as the stars. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration became so bright, they couldn't look on him. They couldn't look on him. He became almost like a star. So we see that wisdom is associated with light. Now, let's go to the reason why the wise men were chosen. I said the shepherds were there to commemorate his birth. The wise men were principally there to commemorate his death. They were the two bookends on the life of Jesus. One was there, it was revealed to them because they were there to commemorate his birth. But the wise men were there to commemorate his death. Now let me show you this. Daniel, in chapter 9, is given the prophecy of the future. And he's told the exact date when Jesus was going to present himself to the Jews as the Messiah. This is an incredible prophecy that's in the Bible 500 years before it happened. Here it is, the angel speaking to him. And it's translated weeks, but what it means is seven. So every time you see the word weeks there, it means seven. 77s of years, or 490 years, are decreed upon your people and upon your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish and put an end to transgression, to seal up and make full measure of sin, to purge away and make expiation, that means cleansing and reconciliation for sin, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. What the angel was telling him, 490 years, and everything will be finished. But the 490 years are not sequential, they're broken up. And here he goes to give him the exact details. He says, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the coming of the Anointed One. Who's the Anointed One? Jesus. Here he's telling him the exact date that Jesus is going to be present himself to the... You didn't know that was in the Bible? He says, shall be seven sevens of years. So from the time that a certain king gives the commandment, remember the Jews at this time were in Babylon, they were in Persia, they had been captured. But God prophesied that they were going to be released, they were going to be sent back home. And he's telling him from the date from which the king says you can go home and gives you the decree is going to be 49 years to the building of the temple, the third temple. It shall be built again with a city square and a moat, but in troublous times. And then he says, after 62 sevens of years shall the Anointed One be cut off. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about Jesus being crucified. The Anointed One shall... He's giving the exact date that Jesus was going to go to the cross. And shall have nothing and no one belonging to and defending him. So let's look at this in detail because this is what the wise men do. They get a truly wise man can only get wisdom from God. And Daniel, who I'm going to show you what his role when the wise men was given this revelation. So here is the 490 years split into three parts. 49 years and then 434 years and then one last period of 7 years. Where we are right now is number one, and number two has already happened. We're waiting for the last portion of that 7-year period to come to pass. Therefore, there are exactly 69 weeks or sevens of years. And if you convert those into days, it comes out to be 173,880 days. Now, it's recorded in history outside of the Bible when the king gave them the command to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And his name was, he was a Persian king named Artaxerxes. In 445 BC, on May the 14th of 445 BC, 445 years before Christ, he gave the command to allow the Jews to rebuild Jerusalem, just as it had been prophesied to Daniel about 70, 80 years before. And then if you count off those 173,880 days, which is 400 and something years, it comes to April, Palm Sunday, AD 32, the Sunday on which Jesus came into Jerusalem doing what? How did he come? Riding on a donkey. And all the people said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So precise is the prophecy, it gives the very date, the Sunday, Palm Sunday, when Jesus presented himself and allowed himself for the first time to be presented as the king. And the prophecy says, but he would be cut off. And so three days later, some of the same people who are shouting Hosanna started shouting what? Crucify him. And 3 days later, on the 14th, the evening of the 14th, or the sunset of the 13th, he was arrested and crucified. This prophecy was given 400 and something years before it happened, and it's right there in the Bible. So, let's get to the wise men. I said the two were connected. How did they know? How did the wise men who came from the east know about this Messiah? Apart from seeing his star, how did they know about this? Well, if we go back to the story, we'll see, look what happens. After Daniel interprets the dream, then the king made Daniel a great man. After he gave him the answer to the dream and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. And here's the important part. He became the chief over all the wise men. He became the chief over all the wise men of Babylon. And the story goes that he passed on the knowledge of the prophecies to the wise men of Babylon so that they were expecting this Messiah. He became the chief of the Magi. He became the chief of the Magi. And so that was the reason that the wise men who came from Persia, the east, knew about the story of the Messiah. But there's more in the Old Testament about this. There is another little thread that I'm going to present to you before I pull it all together. I said, everything in the Bible that God wants to do, he's already laid it out. Matthew 2:1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judah, the days of Herod, there came wise men from the east saying, where is he, king of the Jews? For we have seen what? His star. So we know the wise men are in the Old Testament, but is there anything about the star in the Old Testament? And believe it or not, there's a story, a whole book in the Old Testament all about a star that is connected with the wise men and their travel to Jerusalem. In fact, the book, and you probably know, anyone know what I'm talking about? What book in the Bible is actually named Star? No. Esther. Esther is the Persian name for star. Did you know that? All right, that's why you come to Sunday school. There's a whole book named Star. And believe it or not, that book is connected too with the wise men. Let's look at the story. They had seen the star. Where did they have seen the star? In the east. In the east. A few hundred years after Daniel, a new Persian ruler came to be king, and his name was Ahasuerus. And he had a big feast. Esther chapter 1, verse 10. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine. Now, anytime the Bible names names, what are you supposed to do? If the Bible puts all this trouble to, actually, it could have just said, the king sent his servants to go get the queen. But the Bible here names seven names, right? Isn't that interesting? You don't find it interesting? Amen. And it tells us on the seventh day when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, all these strange names. Harbona, Bigtha, sounds like big toe. And Agbactha and Zethar and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring the queen, Vashti, whose name means beautiful, before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen refused. She didn't want to be an object. Today, so they had the same problem then as they have now, where some men make women just objects. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth. He got angry because the queen wouldn't come. And his anger burned in him. Before we do that, let's see something interesting, because there's a message in the names. I told you this whole book is called Esther. And Esther, I'll tell you now for free, means star or a star. So let's look at the names of the seven that he sent to go and get the queen. Mehuman means faithful. Biztha means treasure. Harbona means driver. Bigtha in the wine press. Agbactha means God-given. And Zethar means star, right. So the servants he sent was to find a star. But it wasn't Vashti. It wasn't Vashti. So let's look at the story now. The same wise men who had descended from the group that Daniel had started or was in charge of is called in. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner towards all knew. They knew all of the seasons. They studied astronomy. They studied the stars. And then it names seven wise men. It's named seven servants, and it names seven wise men. The seven servants, let's go back to the names, faithful, treasure, a driver in the winepress of God, God-given, star, bright. So they were sent to find a star. But the person they chose wouldn't come. I find this amazing, actually, because the book is named Star, if you really understand. So next unto him, then he gives the names of the seven wise men. Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Messina, and Memucan. Now what do you guess that that's also a message? Look at this. Illustrious star, a testimony. A testimony to them. A yellow diamond high, worthy, dignified. That's why when they said they had seen the star in the east, this story of the prophecy had been with the wise men since the time of Daniel. So this was a partial fulfillment, because Esther was chosen. For what reason? What did her uncle tell her she had been chosen? To save her people from destruction. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity. They were all captives in Babylon, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, carried away. And he brought up Hadassah. That was her Jewish name. And that's interesting, too. I'll tell you her Jewish name in a little bit. But they gave her a Persian name, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So Esther, as you know the story, was chosen to become the new wife. And of course, that's not hard to see, because the wise men, their very names tell the story that they were looking for this star from the east. Illustrious star, a testimony to them, a diamond high, worthy and dignified. And so her name was, she was named Esther, star. And she became the queen of the king Ahasuerus, who was the king of the Persian Empire, from which the wise men would eventually come to find Jesus. So we see that this was a partial fulfillment, because she was chosen, as everyone knows, to do what? Save her people. Esther means star. Her uncle came to her, and you notice in the Jewish flag, what is there? A star. It's called the Star of David. And what color is it? Blue, which is the color of grace. Now, Mordecai came to her and said, listen, there's a plot to wipe out all the Jews. Haman is going to kill all the Jews on a certain date. He's getting ready on the 13th, Friday the 13th. That's where we get Friday the 13th being a bad number. On Friday the 13th of Adar, he's going to wipe out all the Jews. But God has brought you into this place, chosen you to bring deliverance. And he says, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, if you don't say anything, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. If God gives you a job and you don't do it, you know what he'll do? He'll choose someone else. You will miss out on your blessing. Mordecai was telling, listen, you've been chosen for this job, but if you don't do it, you know what's going to happen? God will get someone else, and you will miss out. Many times we've missed out on our blessings because God has told us to do something, and we're scared, or we doubt, or we're fearful, and he chooses someone else. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth? And here's the point. He tells her, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?